finally procured my CPAP machine, my sleep machine.
Helps you breathe at night.
Nothing like going to Wakefield in a snowstorm. Took me an hour and a half to get to Wakefield in a snowstorm.
Is it working? Does the machine help you?
I'll tell you this, is that the first thing that they gave me, it was frightening. It's a mask that covers your face, and it just, like, pumps this air into you.
Yeah.
And and every dream you have is that you have this thing over your face, and that it, and there's air being pumped into it.
Right.
So I then at work, they had given me this like Philips thing that I might endorse. That's way smaller,
uh-huh.
And that actually wasn't bad.
Okay,
but it was funny because when I got the information that came with the CPAP machine, it's a like a middle-aged woman showing a guy who's about 100 the how to use the machine. So I'm starting to use equipment that is used by the elderly.
Yeah, it was like the time that I had to get a I had diverticulitis, and that's that thing that who was the guy in the Bruins who ended up having
Backus.
That? Backus. Yeah, yeah, Backus had it, and it's wildly painful. But people like Backus and me are way too young to be getting diverticulitis. It's basically when I went in, they said, "Yeah, you know, this is usually something that people over the age of 65 usually get." You're like, all right, well, this is fantastic. And I guess it's just from having like too many like nuts or whatever in your diet. And every morning I used to eat these two Clif bars,
mm-hmm.
that were like these peanut butter ones. And it's basically just like eating a pile of nuts covered in goo. And I think that's what did it. It just, my diet said, yep, your body can't take this. And so that's always nice when they compare you to a 65-year-old when you walk in there and they look at you like, you know, you need to be doing something that doesn't make your body completely think that you're an absolute idiot and treating your whole body horribly.
So it's like an hour and a half to get there, and I left my house at 3 for a 4 o'clock appointment. So we start, like, calling the place and being like, you know, we're going to be late. And the last time we called, the woman's like, I'm leaving at 5. Like, I'm going to leave at 5. And we're like, we've been in the car for an hour and a half. Like, I'm almost there. Like, I'm 2 miles away. And she's like, well, you got to get here by 5 or I'm not seeing you. And so they were more than happy to have me turn around after telling them I'd been in the car for an hour and a half and just sending me home. Because if I was, like, a minute over 5 o'clock, which is just, and you're like a healthcare practitioner.
Exactly.
I mean, who could do that? If someone, like, who could have the gall to do that to someone?
Just have some soul.
She had something to do. She had places to go.
Yeah. like the minute, you know, like, 5 o'clock, done.
Just look outside the window. I mean, for like 2.5 hours, it was bombing down snow out there for a while.
Well, she was just like, yeah, it's always like this. And then if you had the weather and it's just the way it is, I'm like, oh, God. Then it's like this state of panic.
What time was your appointment?
4.
Okay.
And I left at 3. And then it took 95 hours to get up there. Over an hour and a half to get up there. But then it became this dead panic that I wasn't going to get there in time.
And there's nothing you can do. You're just sitting there.
It's just awful.
Yep.
How can people do that every day? Just sit in that. Just sit there for an hour and a half on something that you should be going 75 miles an hour on. To just be at a standstill. I figured it out. It was like I was averaging like a mile and a half an hour. Well, that can't be right. I was managing like 10 miles an hour or something like that. It, I mean, just it's unbelievable.
My father did that for I don't know how many years. Like probably 25, 30 years. And I think we lived 35 miles from where he worked, but it was from the suburbs into the downtown, and it would take him an hour and 45 minutes every day to get to work.
I only have limited exposure to it, but Atlanta traffic is the worst.
And
right?
I actually, worked as like an intern for a place that was near him. So I kind of, and I worked at a bank that was actually near him too. So I lived that for about a year and a half, and it was during that year and a half that I promised myself I was going to move as close to my work as I possibly could for the rest of my life. And I didn't care if I lived in a one-bedroom apartment. I did not care what the size of it was. I could not handle that commute. And that sucked. And it was also, you know, the whole sunshine slowdown and stuff whenever you're driving. That's a nightmare. I don't know how people do that every day.
5 o'clock, you got to get there. If you're not there, tough luck.
Go home.
Yeah. Imagine knocking on that door and having them like lock you out. Kept calling. I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best.
What a nice woman that is.
Yeah, it was really something else.
No, it wasn't like you called at 10 minutes of 5.
No,
you know,
I called her like four.
The entire time. She had full knowledge that you were stuck in this hellish traffic.
Right.
And you were doing your best to get there.
And her point was, yep, that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. If you come north, that's what's going on. You just got, there's snow that's going to add to it. Which was kind of proving my point, but she was using it as just, life. Sometimes life does that to you.
She's probably got kids to pick up.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Judging by the age, I'm going to guess that there was not a whole lot of kids to pick up.
Okay.
And even if she had kids to pick up, so she has it down to the exactly 5 o'clock, and then she has to go pick up kids, like 5:05, like the kids are sitting there. It's down to the minute.
Well, I mean, she probably leaves at 5 and schedules stuff afterwards, so the office closes at 5, right?
No.
Oh. Does she get off at 5? I mean...
Yeah, she gets off at 5.
So the office didn't even close at 5?
No.
I thought that was the situation. You know, the office closes at 5. You know, it's time to go home. No. Was there anything like that?
No.
That makes it 3 times worse.
So your point is that she had things to do that she needed absolutely to get out there of there at 5.
Yeah, if she gets off at 5, she has things scheduled to Friday night.
So you, if it was you and you were in that situation, you just would have left.
I would have left earlier. If it was snowing and I knew it was that far, yes. I'm one of those people who I don't care if I'm sitting in the parking lot waiting. I do not want to be late.
Well, Newton to Wakefield, regardless of what the circumstance is. And by the way, if you leave at 3 on Friday instead of 4, I mean, that's a big difference.
Sure.
So I'm thinking an hour really ought to be enough. I mean, I used to live out there. I grew up in Lexington. I know that area well. I think an hour really ought to be enough if you leave at 3 in the afternoon to get to Wakefield.
With snow.
Even with snow. Yeah. I mean, I was driving in that. I was going back into
Boston. I've never driven that, so I don't know.
No, I was driving that into Boston. I mean, I had to deal with that, too.
Yeah.
It took me an hour to get from Natick to the Garden.
You said on the phone it would take an hour.
Yeah.
So you would have left at 5.
No, he would have left at like 2:30 or 2:15.
Yeah, I would have left way early from my place, without a doubt.
No, but you're saying if you were the person at the office, you would have left at 5.
No, I'm saying I don't blame her for saying I have to leave at 5. She's got things to do. It'd be like a guest coming to our show and saying, I can't make it till 10:30. We would say, all right, well, then don't make it.
So if I got there at 5, then it's the process takes about 10 minutes, you would have left.
If you were an hour late, if it was 5, no, I probably would have been there. If you showed up at 5 when I was there and it only took 10 minutes, as long as I didn't have something I had to be at, then I probably would have stuck around, yes, if I was her.
Okay, well, I mean, I have thought with your altruistic ways and your ways of the Lord that you would you would be someone who stuck around.
What do you mean by ways of the Lord?
I mean, you're like a holy man.
He's saying you have this reputation of being like a really good guy, and this kind of goes against that.
Yeah, but I might have things I have to do. I might have to pick up my kids. I might have to, there's appointments. There's things like that. I mean, I might have a date that night. I might have movie tickets. There's a lot of things. She's leaving at 5. She works till 5. I understand why she said, listen, I'm leaving at 5. But if you showed up and I had some extra time and I wasn't pressed to leave, then I would be like, okay.
Movie tickets to a 5:15 show.
I'm not missing a movie because some jackass is an hour late. That's my whole thing. I'm not missing that. If you're an hour late for an appointment, I'm gone.
Even if the person had been calling you and saying, I'm coming and I'm stuck.
Yes. If you're an hour late and you can't make it, reschedule it then. Just, all right, well, let's do it a different day. Obviously, it's not working out. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to miss a movie that I've had planned because somebody is an hour late for an appointment.
Okay.
You would miss a movie if somebody was an hour late.
I wouldn't be going to a movie on a Friday night.
It doesn't matter. Let's say you had an appointment for something. Let's say you did have a movie tickets.
I wouldn't go to a movie on a Friday night.
Okay, let's say you had kids to pick up.
The difference between
Let's say you had a dinner reservation.
The difference between a minute Like, if like it would become down to a minute.
If that person wasn't there at 5 o'clock, you would stick around?
If they kept calling me and saying that they were stuck in traffic and I was a healthcare practitioner.
And she was right up front with you saying, I'm not going to be here past 5. You can reschedule.
And it's already an hour and a half into the trip? Yes, I would have stayed.
So you were already 30 minutes late when you called?
No, I was. It was like 3:45 when I called.
Okay.
And then I kept calling to give updates and saying I'm getting there as fast as I can. But, I mean, I like how someone's a jackass because the traffic happened to be an hour and 45 minutes to go 27 miles.
But she gave you the option to reschedule, correct?
I got the option to reschedule once I'd been on the road for an hour and a half. I mean, there was nothing I could do. So then I would have had to turn around and go an hour and a half back the other way, and I wouldn't have rescheduled. I would have gone ballistic.
When did you wind up getting there, finally?
4:45.
Okay.
Okay.
But 4:45. She had to stay until 5:04, so I hope she didn't miss her movie. If I had movie tickets, please.
If you were her, you would have been pissed, too.
Oh, no.
If you were the other side, yeah, absolutely. I'm not sticking around for... You would have come on here and said, I'm not sticking around for someone who's over an hour late. Hell no.
Yes, I would. If I said...
You would have said it's snowing. Plan ahead.
I would have said that it's a minute. It's the difference between a minute. The hour has nothing to do with it. It's the difference in a minute at 5 o'clock. No, if I was a healthcare practitioner and someone was literally making me stay at the office a minute later... Then, yeah, I wouldn't have had a problem with that. Out of general decency. If we had a guest that comes in 10:30, that's completely different.
It's T&R. T&R. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Kutcher and Rich.
Okay, keep doing it.
Recapping what you missed with Kutcher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, the Bruins can finally stop jacking around now because the real season starts Thursday.
And the horn will sound. On the final day and the final game of the regular season, the Florida Panthers victorious over the Boston Bruins 4-2. The Boston Bruins finish the season 50-20-12, and they will be the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. They will open the playoffs against the Toronto Maple Leafs here at TD Garden on Thursday.
Well, while blowing an opportunity that could have landed the Bruins the top seat in the East, the Bruins lose to the Florida Panthers in an ugly one, 4-2 the final score. The only period the Bruins seemed to show up was the third, but that wasn't enough. Despite an absolute blitz on goal during a double minor that period, where I may have said, how the hell did that not go in at least a half dozen times?
Pasternak's going to see that one chance near the post in his sleep.
Oh, that was crazy. I still don't know how that didn't go in, but the Bruins were left 2 goals short in the end. So they limp into the playoffs after going 1-3-1 in their last 5 games. They finish second in the division and will play the Maple Leafs starting Thursday. Here's Bruce Cassidy. I'm looking forward to the postseason.
I feel we'll be a lot better than we were tonight. We better be. We're in big trouble. I just felt that coming down the stretch here, you could start to see us mentally get tired. You know, physically, I think every team goes through it, the schedule. Every team has difficult parts of it, and at the end of the year, you're a little heavy-legged. But mentally, it looked like we're losing some of our passion, and that showed in the first period. That's what we were missing.
Well, Brad Marchand, for one, also knows that the rest the team's going to be able to have over the next few days is going to do them some good.
A little rest would be nice. We've had hard last month and a half. But then, obviously, we'll do some video and continue to work on some areas that we need to be a little bit better at. We'll go through all that next practice.
And Tuukka Rask also realizes that despite that wildly anticlimactic ending to the season, he knows that they had a good season all in all, and they are ready for the playoffs.
It was a good season. We reached 50 wins or something, so it doesn't happen every year. We've got to be happy with that, and now really focus on being the team we know we can be.
So here's the schedule for the first round versus the Toronto Maple Leafs. You got game one here on Thursday at 7 p.m., and then Saturday night at 8 p.m. Then they go to Toronto for Monday and Thursday, and then it goes April 21st, 23rd, 25th. It is a 2-2-1-1-1 situation with Boston having home ice. So now the Bruins don't have the best record against Toronto this season. In the 4 games they played, they were 1-2-1, Well, Toronto outscored Boston 12-10. I got to look back at those games and see who was hurt, who was playing. Well, I only remember one of them specifically, and that was the win. I'll have to go back and take a look at what the rosters were.
Austin Matthews missed three of the four games, and one game he did play, the Bruins shut him down. That was their one win. So it's kind of weird the way it all worked out. I don't know how much you can really take from that simply because Matthews wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And the one game he was there, the Bruins did a lockdown job on him. So does that mean the Bruins have the advantage? I mean, who knows? Both teams have seven guys who scored 15 goals or more. I mean, Toronto has 330 goal scorers. They're pretty evenly matched.
Yep. So we will have Bob Beers on at 720 or 820?
820.
820. Bob Beers will be on with us at 820. And he will preview the upcoming matchup, which, of course, starts Thursday. And you can hear that entire series right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Are you worried at all with the way that they puttered into the postseason?
I don't like that they had to play last night like it was a playoff game. I wish that they had a couple games to rest people.
They didn't play last night because it was a playoff game, actually.
They played one period like it was a playoff game.
Yeah,
but they played guys that they could have otherwise rested. So I wasn't thrilled about that. Toronto's got a day of rest on them. I don't know. If you could look at it two ways. You could say this is a chance for them to realize that, you know, this team has deficiencies and that they're going to have to play better. Or you could look at it as, like Cassidy said, they're mentally drained and going into a series against a team that they didn't have a lot of success with against in the regular season.
Also, just looking at the schedule, there's pretty much a clear line as to when the Bruins jump-started the season, and it was mid-November. Two of those games against Toronto were before they really kicked it into gear. I mean, I think they were November 10th and 11th. It was a back-to-back, a home-and-home, and Toronto won both of them. And right after that is when the Bruins really got started.
Okay.
So, again, they were 1-2-1, but there are a lot of mitigating factors here that you look at it and go, oh, okay, we're really not sure what this all means.
And the final two, they won, and then they lost in a shootout, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Rick Nash, he's been skating, and he's scheduled to play.
Well, he said that his upper body injury was a concussion.
Right. Yeah. I know that. But he should be cleared to play by Thursday, you would think.
Nothing definitive.
They said the playoffs. He's eyeing a possible return for the playoffs is what he said. So they didn't say exactly when it would be. But he is indeed skating, and he's talking to the press, and he seems optimistic.
But then Riley Nash, no one knows anything.
Radio silence.
I wonder if he can play with that 48 stitches in his head or whatever it is. I wonder if that's the issue, is that if they're afraid that's going to open up.
I don't know. That looked nasty, though.
Yeah. So, I mean,
how many stitches he got? Was it 48?
It was like a ton. I think it might be actually 48.
Oh, my God.
So, if I would like to get those two guys back. I never thought I would be saying I want to get Riley Nash back, but I would.
Solidifies that third line.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And moves everyone back into where they need to be.
Right. So, it's a little nerve-wracking. I wish they would have won last night, but more than that, I wish that it didn't matter and that they didn't have to play last night.
How big of a deal do you think it is that they didn't get the Devils? Like, how much tougher of a matchup it is? On paper, obviously, it looks like that would have been the more favorable of the two, but what do you think, the way that both teams have been playing?
There's no excuse not to beat Toronto. There's no excuse not to make a run in the playoffs. They shouldn't lose to Toronto. They're a better team than Toronto. Toronto's got, and then everyone says, oh, you know, they have trouble scoring goals. Toronto's goalie is, you know, owns them. That's all crap. They have high-end young players. But the Bruins have a mixture of young players and veterans. The Bruins should win this series.
It won't be pleasant. It's not going to be a sweep. There are going to be a lot of times, and Rich, you talk about this frequently, and it happens to me and a lot of other Bruins fans, where you're sitting there watching the game with a knot in your stomach.
Sure.
This is going to be one of those series. Right, it's not going to be a lot of fun to watch, but I agree with you. The Bruins should win this thing.
Yeah, and there's going to be weird bounces that decide games and things of that nature, but, I mean, they should win. This should be a series that they win. They should win two series in this playoff.
The thing I remember the most about them playing the Maple Leafs this season is, I forget what player it was, but Brad Marchand went up and kissed one of the dudes on the cheek, and I think they ended up losing. But that was one of the games they lost in November. But Marchand was just kind of being an a-hole and went and kissed the guy in the cheek, and he got all pissed after the game. So there's a little bit of a history there. I forget which player it was, but that's like my one best memory of the whole series that it ended up like backfiring on him in the end.
And I wonder if your attitude is just like, let's get to the playoffs.
Well, Fred, that's a lot of that. I mean, they basically knew that they were going to be the one or two seed. It didn't matter to them. I don't believe it mattered to them. And I think that they just took their foot off the gas. It's human nature that happens. And you'd like to think that there is a, you know, everyone talks about flipping the switch. You like to think that it's not that the switch was, you know, turned all the way off, but just that they were not giving it 100% because they realized they didn't have to.
That's what you hope. You hope that they can turn it on in the playoffs.
Because well, if that's no the case, because if this is the team who they are, like if they were really trying, that's scary as hell.
As far as turning it on, I mean, how many veteran leaders are on this team? There's no excuse for this. Right. They should be ready on Thursday night.
Yep. Sure. Mm-hmm.
So mentally ready with their 3-day break.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So Thursday is when it all starts, 7 p.m. You can see, hear the puck drop right here with Mr. Surratt and Bob Beers will be on with us at 8:20 right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, Rich, what else do we have coming up?
We got the Red Sox. They're the best team in baseball against the worst teams in baseball. But either way, it doesn't matter. You beat up on bad teams, and they've been doing that. On top of that, we've got some very interesting Masters talk. This guy, Patrick Reed.
He's a bad boy.
The dude has a strange past that we will get into. And
he's the bad boy of golf, they say. I just read an article that called him the bad boy of golf.
Okay. The big boy of golf.
Well, he's fat, but there's no question about that, but he's a bad boy.
That's right.
So we'll get into how he's a bad boy. Also, Bogarts is hurt, I saw.
Yeah.
When I was at a restaurant. Yeah,
we'll get to that, too.
All right. Here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else went on?
Well, the Red Sox aren't just good right now. They are historically good.
High fly ball into left field. Smith backing up on the track. He can't get it. The run is in. Mookie scores. Benintendi to second. The Red Sox are in front. 8-7.
Yeah, that is Nesson, and that was pretty damn awesome. Down by five, the Red Sox rip off six runs in the eighth inning to rally to beat the Rays 8-7. One of the remarkable things about that inning was that all six runs came with two outs. In an only nine-game season, it's the Sox's fifth come-from-behind win, and at 8-1, this team has the best start in Red Sox franchise history. However, the win did come with a price.
High fly, twisting into left field. Martinez back to the track, back to the wall. Plays it off the 10. Looked like it struck him. Here comes the run. They're going to wave around Robertson. He's going to score. A flip. There's nobody there out of the glove of Bogarts. He has to chase it, and it almost went into the dugout. And he did go into the dugout.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, that didn't look good. Xander Bogarts had to be helped off the field there in the seventh. After cutting off a throw to third from J.D. Martinez, Bogart tried to make a flip toss to the bag, but no one was there. So he ended up chasing the ball down to keep it from rolling into the Rays' dugout, sliding to try to stop it. And it looked like his momentum carried him over and down into the dugout steps, which I guess he ended up getting an ankle injury on his left ankle yesterday. And Alex Cora said that Bogarts is going to be evaluated today. But despite that, here is Alex Cora after the come-from-behind win.
We stole that one again. But they put good at-bats. Stay on fastballs. Adjust with the slider. You know, Colomé is one of the best closers in the league. So, first of all, we pushed him to bring him early in the game. And after that, it was good at-bat after good at-bat. And that was fun to watch.
And Mookie Betts knows that a comeback like that isn't something that happens often.
You know, we've been there before and done it before. So it's just, we know it takes one at a time, and that was our mindset.
So, all right, no more messing around with teams like the Rays and the Marlins. I'm not discounting those wins. They did their job. They beat up on two bad teams. However, now it's finally time for some real competition. The Yankees come to town tomorrow night for a three-game series. The Yankees, by the way, having problems of their own, as the headline in today's New York Post reads, quote, Yankees superstars choke in the most brutal loss possible. Well, that's a little dramatic. Well,
they just lost 3 out of 4 to Baltimore, so I can understand the anger.
Yeah, but still. So yesterday, if you didn't see it, it was pretty great. With bases loaded, no one out in the 12th inning of a one-run game, with Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton coming up, this was going to be one of those moments that would finally get Yankees fans to stop booing their beloved stars. Well, that didn't happen.
And the 1-2 pitch, swing and a miss. He got him. Stanton down on strikes, and the Orioles survived the 12th inning.
I want Sterling's call of that. I want to hear his tears.
He probably doesn't even know what happened.
No, it's, Sterling, he doesn't cry. It's just a monotone. Swung and a miss. Game over.
Swing and a miss. Game over. Is. I'm going to go sit in the dark in my 200-square-foot apartment. And look at the wall.
Days of our lives reruns.
Well, keeps them on VHS.
Yep, he loves
them
it.
Like there's no tomorrow. Nope.
So Stanton got his 5th strikeout of the afternoon right there in an 8-7 loss that took 4 hours and 48 minutes to play. Womp, womp. Stanton was booed at every at-bat. So, needless to say...
Wait, he struck out 5 times again?
Yep, again.
2nd time this season. Mm-hmm. He's been at bat 42 times. He struck out 20 times.
Wow.
This season, he is 7 for his first 42.
Yep.
Feeling a little heat.
Yep. And of course, and now there's even articles I saw in the New York Post as well, which obviously is very favorable towards New York sports teams, but it said, we should have seen this coming with Stanton. And I want to go,
what?
You're 9 games in.
Oh, my God.
I'm not kidding you. There's an article that says, I want to read that. I just
priceless.
Saw that. I saw the headline when I was looking at the one article about most brutal loss possible, where it said we should have seen this coming.
Did you think he was going to go undefeated and he was going to hit 10 home runs the first week?
Yes.
He's been playing for like a week and a half.
Yeah.
A week and a half he's been playing for the Yankees. And, of course, we should have seen this coming. It was a horrible signing. But needless to say, they are going to be desperate for a win tomorrow night at Fenway. Mm-hmm. And that should be at least a fun matchup. I'm sick of seeing them beat up on the Marlins and the Rays. Let's see what they can really do against a team that... And now they're kind of desperate. Yankees are obviously going to try to do everything they can to not get their their fans are booing Giancarlo Stanton. That is like the best.
Well, they pay $5 million per ticket. So, you know, they want to see fireworks.
I guess.
Don't want to sit there and see the platinum sombrero.
That's right. Twice?
A term that I learned just last week.
Yeah. Now, does it have to be 5 strikeouts to be the platinum sombrero?
Yes. Okay. It has to be 5 strikeouts.
The golden sombrero is 4.
It's 4. Okay, so platinum is 5.
No, I mean, here's the thing. He hits 2 home runs on opening day in Toronto, and everything is great. He goes 0-for-4. And gets booed by Yankee fans the next day.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and then he strikes out 5 times in the home opener and gets booed. I mean, I don't understand that.
No.
Well, I understand.
Red
Sox fans, by the way, have been guilty of similar stuff. But since it's the Yankee fans,
hang
you can
on,
laugh at it.
Hang on. You're talking about booing at a guy who strikes out 5 times? Is that what you're saying?
No, just booing guys that have succeeded for a franchise.
This early in the season?
Oh, yeah. Sox fans have been brutal.
Wait a second. Sure, if you strike out 5 times in a game, you should be being booed. I mean, that's it. I mean, if you strike out 5 times in a game, regardless of who you are, that's worthy of being booed. Absolutely. And the second time?
Stanton got booed the first time he was at the bat yesterday.
No, I know. He's getting booed a lot.
Both 5 strikeout games came at home, by the way.
By the way, 5 strikeouts in a game, you get what's coming to you. Especially when you're the prize free agent. Oh, absolutely. You got to give that guy crap. That's unbelievable.
20 strikeouts and 42 at-bats.
That's pretty amazing.
He's becoming Rob Deere.
What was Aaron Judge at his worst? Because remember, he had that period
He was about 2.5 months worth. Yeah.
But it was in the middle, right? Like, at the beginning, he was amazing, and then in the middle, he went through that slump. Yes. But he was, like, a strikeout king as well.
Well, I mean, again, you expect him to do that. I don't know if you expected this out of him.
Yeah, Judge was a rookie.
Yeah.
But you got to give him a little bit of slack.
Sure, sure. That's a good point. So there we go. We got a series coming up. What have you thought of the Red Sox so far in these 3 series that they've had?
You're supposed to beat up on teams like this. Miami's god awful, and so's Tampa. But having said that, it very rarely happens that way. You look at a schedule like, oh, okay, we should win 8 of our first 9 or all 9 of these, and usually you come out of there like 5-4.
Yeah.
8-1 is 8-1.
And if Joe Kelly didn't puke on his shoes the first game.
Right. Yep. Sox have played a lot of bad teams to start seasons. They've never started this well, so give them credit for this. And the Yankees didn't exactly play great teams either. I mean, Baltimore and Toronto aren't good either. And they're 500. So take it for what it is. It's a very nice start.
Just get the duck boats ready.
Right.
Get the duck boats ready, baby. April 9th.
We do look good against bad teams.
Yeah.
But either way, it'll be a good series
even
to watch.
Even if Judge is worse, when I'm looking at it, he never struck out more than three times in a game.
Yeah, five times last in a season. Game twice is yeah. a rare feat.
Twice in a week.
Yeah, from June. Yeah. Yeah, June and July were god-awful for him. Now, he was striking out one or two times every single game during that period, but never five.
This is
never
when John was on the big kick about how Judge wasn't going to be MVP. Or rookie of the year.
I said that May 15th or somewhere in there. I said, I love how you spin this. I said that he is due to fall off. I mean, he's a rookie. Rookies go through bad slumps, and he did. The problem was, for my argument, he put up such huge numbers early, there was no chance that he was ever going to lose out on the award. But he did go into a massive tailspin.
Doesn't matter. You said he wasn't going to win rookie of the year.
Yes, I did.
Which was just such a terrible call at that point. .985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, and as I traditionally do, I turned on the Masters for the last half hour.
Mm-hmm.
I can't for the life of me figure out why anyone would watch more than that.
Did you keep up with Jordan Spieth though throughout the day? Yeah. Like, I mean, that now that was a great story.
In the last half hour, I saw that he was about to set a course record, right?
Well, then, what happened was he was, would he start with a 5-under at the beginning of the day?
He was nine shots off the lead when he started and tied Reed with about five holes to go.
It was awesome. So they were tied at 14-under. So he was on a tear. The guy could not stop getting birdies. But all I know is that when I was watching the Masters last year, I kept thinking, you know what this needs? Some more awkward references to mediocre bands.
Need one more perfect read. Will it be his life-changing moment? Yes, it will. Captain America captures Augusta. As it Imagine Dragons would say, welcome to the new age. To the new age.
Well.
You missed that. That's like the biggest moment of the tournament.
That call.
And Faldo just says, I'm jamming in an Imagine Dragons
record. Well, listen, he's hip with the kids.
Yeah.
He wrote that. I mean, that was written down.
Now, apparently, once again, I didn't watch every moment of the entire Masters, but that's not Faldo's only Imagine Dragons reference. I guess that Patrick Reed is an Imagine Dragons fan. That was mentioned at some point earlier. But, I mean, just jamming that sucker in there. Woo!
Welcome to the new age.
But it was
to the new age.
Yeah, that gave me all the chills. That's almost like, this is for all the Tostitos. As far as, like, cringe-inducing final calls, or Y.E. Yang, Y-E-S!
Yeah, that was written down, too.
That one definitely was. But despite all that, an excellent final round yesterday at the Masters. Patrick Reed wins it with a 15-under, but Jordan Spieth, as we were mentioning, kept it interesting with a great tear on Sunday, shooting a 64, but it wasn't enough. So, for now, all four reigning major champions are Americans 27 years old or younger. We got Patrick Reed with the Masters. Brooks Koepka, is that what's going to... Yeah, he's Koepka. In the U.S. Open. Jordan Spieth with the Open and Justin Thomas at the PGA Championship. Here is Patrick Reed afterwards.
Pressure at that point was kind of lifted off. Yeah, I mean, no one expects me to go out and win. I expect myself to go out and win. My family and I believe that we need to go out there and I can win the golf tournament. And it just seemed like everyone else was saying how great I was playing all week, how very impressed they were. But then, you know, come Saturday night and Sunday morning, they're like, oh, well, even though we said all these great things about how he's playing, we think Rory's going to win.
Now, as you were saying, Fred, they were referring to Patrick Reed as the bad boy. The bad boy of the Masters.
Apparently, everyone hates him and likes Rory McIlroy. And even though Rory McIlroy suggested that they stop serving booze.
Well, here's the thing, Fred, is that you may think he's a bad boy or someone may think he's a bad boy, but the more you read about this guy, he's a douche. And I mean, like, in every... Not only does his face make you hate him, but, like, you read about his behind the scenes, like, the way, not the way that other people think about him, but the way he's acted. So, apparently, there was a question that was asked yesterday during the post-game press conference where someone said, it was a guy from Sports Illustrated, he said, how does it feel to win this championship and not be able to share this great moment with your family? And he said, I'm just here to play golf, and I just want to be the best golfer I can be. So, immediately got people going, whoa, what's happening here? So, Since 2012, Patrick has not talked to anyone in his family. He's completely cut them off. You saw his wife at the very end. Her name is Justine.
Very short woman.
Yes, they got married in December of 2012 when he was only 22. His parents apparently did not want him to get married so young, and they urged him to slow down. And according to Sports Illustrated, the advice was not well received, and his parents and his sister were not invited to the wedding, and Patrick cut off contact with his family, instead surrounding himself with his wife's people, who like started running all of his business part of it and everything like that. So apparently there's an on-the-record interview that his wife did a couple of years ago. She had horrible things to say about Patrick's parents. And the Reeds have had no contact with Patrick since he got married. And this is from the article. It says, despite repeatedly emailing him and reaching out through intermediaries, a friend of his parents had extra tickets to the 2014 U.S. Open. So with some trepidation, they went to Pinehurst, number two, and followed Patrick throughout the second round, hoping to perhaps reestablish contact and meet their granddaughter for the first time. Justine, his wife, was also in the gallery, but no words were exchanged. So walking up the 18th hole, Bill and Jeanette and Hannah, that's the parents and the sister, they ended up getting surrounded by police officers. They were ultimately escorted off the grounds and had their tournament badges confiscated by USGA officials who, according to the family, said that he was acting on Patrick's wife's wishes. So his wife said, I want them escorted out of here. I don't even want them around.
Well, I can relate. I mean, I can't get down on the guy that much.
You would have some sort of family escorted off the grounds
if he had option.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
If he had the option to get some deputies in, I would imagine he would have taken.
Of course,
it.
I would.
All right,
it would be a massive distraction, and I don't need that in my life.
I guess in 2016.
Wait a second, not talking to. To family for that long. Wow, that's it. I haven't. Who would do such a thing? Oh, me.
Well, apparently, Justine, his wife, wrote a Facebook post 2 years ago about her in-laws, which included the line, quote, they are sick people and need help. So Patrick's sister, who's also cut off, responded with this huge post writing, I have sat back and watched numerous and disgusting accusations that his wife, mother-in-law, and everyone now associated as his family has made. Patrick is not the same person he used to be. This is not a brother anymore, but a selfish, horrible stranger, and it's heartbreaking. It is devastating seeing my parents hurt and suffer from all of this. So on top of that, so he went to UGA and got kicked out essentially for being arrested for being drunk in public. Okay, whatever. But they're also saying that all of his teammates hated him. As a matter of fact, when he played for Augusta State, at one point the team put together a vote to try to kick him off the team because he was such a dink and nobody liked him, but he was too good. So they ended up sticking him around, and I guess he committed the ultimate sin when he was at UGA as well, and that is he cheated in a way that I guess it's probably the most blatantly, I know that it's a way that people try to get away with often. So he went, hit a ball into the rough, and when he walked over towards the woods, he saw that there was another ball that wasn't his, but he tried to play that one instead, and he ended up getting busted, and they said that that wasn't the first time he had done that, so he ended up getting in trouble that way. So he's a guy that nobody likes to play with. He doesn't like to do any practice rounds. He doesn't like to practice with anybody else. He's kind of all on his own. When he is with other people, apparently people say he's a whiner. They don't like being around him. He's just not a very likable human being from everything you read about him afterwards.
Even with that Augusta State education?
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't. Who knew that Augusta State existed?
I had no idea. Yeah, once again, I had no idea ain't really much about this guy at all until yesterday. So,
yeah, and he had a chance to choke it away, and he didn't do it. I didn't realize that he was such a prick.
Yeah.
Maybe I would have gone a little bit more for Fowler there at the end.
I just wanted Jordan Spieth because doesn't he have the badass caddy? Isn't he ever Tiger's old guy?
He's got Tiger's old guy that just is when he's not holding
Stevie
the bag.
Stevie Williams, that's it.
He's racing cars.
Stevie Williams was the best.
Yeah, he was just like, I'm an effing stuntman. Like, you know, like, I carry a bag, but on the weekends I rev her up.
Stevie Williams was one of those guys that, like, when Tiger won, he thought it was because of him. Yeah, listen to this.
I caddy and I go racing, and when I go to the racetrack, the only place I'm interested in finishing is first.
Okay, all right. D-bag, what are you doing?
Yeah, he's a danger. He's Steve McQueen that carries another guy's bag four days a week.
Stevie Williams.
When I go to the track, you know, I play to win.
I don't even know if he's still Spieth's guy, but no, not this weekend. He wasn't okay. Because that was
Stevie Williams was too busy, like, in Morocco, smoking opium and hanging out with princes.
But that was great. I mean, what Spieth was doing was phenomenal. And yes. That would have been the biggest 54-hole comeback in Masters history if he ended up winning it. So, I mean, despite all of that, and we also, you know, if Stevie Williams wasn't there, I didn't care if he won. I just wanted more Stevie Williams quotes.
Well, I know if Reed is that big a fan of Imagine Dragons, he can't be that likable a person.
I don't even know if that was the case, but people were saying that Faldo had thrown that in there a few times, and I think it was because it was mentioned that was like his favorite band.
All right. There will be no commercials here, just the headlines.